Welcome back, fellow infomaniacs. Welcome back, fellow patriots who will rally to cast, for those of us in Massachusetts, the only significant vote, the only cause and effect vote that we can, a historic opportunity to actually get control of our government, to strike back at the politicians who are stealing from us, and all of the waste that's been done, a truly historic opportunity on ballot question number one to vote yes to end the state income tax, to put, on average, $4,700 in your pocket. And for listeners of this show, partners of this show, more on the order of $10,000 and above. Everything about it is good. In my view, everything about it is right and good, personally, politically, and yet again, have we, by her gracious consent, the patriotic and comely Carla Howell, the courageous woman who once again has galvanized us to this end, to try and do something to make that statement and to keep a little more of what, or a lot more, of what we have earned and to dispel the lies on the other side. Carla Howell, welcome back to 96.9.
Good afternoon, Jay, and let me thank in advance the courageous voters who don't buy the scare tactics that they're hearing in the advertisements from the No on One campaign and who vote for this important tax cut for 3,400,000 workers and taxpayers across Massachusetts. Hats off to all of you.
Carla Howell, I heard you on Nationalized Public Radio this morning, and I salute you for your patience and your grace, and I otherwise mention it because they come right out the other side, and their two or three most fundamental affirmative presentations and or responses are lies, lies, and lies. And the establishment media, Carla, treats them like, okay, there's a fact. Now, Ms. Howell, how about you? I mean, no one, you know, all of these referees out there who are so quick to say, yes, but Carla Howell, doesn't that mean the end of the world as we know it? Or no, they say, of course, Carla Howell, that means no more police and firefighters. It means your house will burn down in the middle of the night and kill your children, right? Mm. You know, they feel that's their appropriate role, but the other side just comes out with the most fundamental lies about what this means and about how much it will cost and what percentage of the budget this represents. I just don't know how you do it. I don't know how you keep your cool.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, and I do want to affirm something you said yesterday, which is when the media is not telling you the truth, go to the alternative media or those outlets that are telling you the truth. In particular, about the size of the budget, it's $47 billion. They keep lying about it and pretending it's just a little over half of that. But, you know, I want to talk about Parkinson's Law. Can I do that, Jay,
please,
for a minute? Parkinson's Law says that spending, government spending, rises to meet income. And this is a big reason why to vote yes on one to end your income tax. In order to cut government's allowance, in order to cut government waste, you have to cut the government's allowance. And this is going to explain why exposing government waste alone does not lead to either spending cuts or tax cuts. Look at all the outrageous government waste stories we've heard this year, adding $7 billion to the price tag for the big dig, handing out another $2.4 billion for government employee pensions that are already lavish, double-dipping pensions, bodybuilders on permanent disability leave. The list goes on. Now we've got senators stuffing cash in her blouse.
I thought Michael Graham had a great slogan here, you know, pass a number one and put your money in your own bra.
There you go. Now, these stories get our attention, all right, and they're a huge embarrassment for the tax and spenders on Beacon Hill. The politicians say they're shocked and they'll do something about it. So they cut a little bit of waste. Oh, or like the police detail. Governor Patrick announces phony cuts, in this case very trivial cuts, and then they brag about how they save thousands or even millions of dollars. But even when they actually do cut temporarily a little bit of government spending, those savings, they're not for you. They're freed up dollars, found tax dollars for politicians. It's like Christmas morning for the politicians, the government officials, and the special interests, who then use it to create new government programs, new plush government contracts.
I think the toughest thing, Carla Howell, is that because the other side is aided and abetted by the Boston Globe and by the establishment media, the point here is of my remark is, yes, to be critical, but that's not the focus of my point. My point is, they have established, that they, the other side, I think, have fairly firmly established and you are very effectively chipping away at. But I think the challenge here, and you know, I'm not telling you anything you don't know better, which is if someone believes that they could keep more of what they earn and not deprive themselves or the person living next door of absolutely and genuinely essential public services, I think that our effort would win with 99% of the vote. You know, I just somehow I think the biggest hump to get over here is, boy, I could sure use that several thousand dollars that I've earned that's mine. I think we're getting to a point that we understand it's ours and that no one has to give it to us or take it from someone else to let us keep it. But there seems that the biggest, red herring out there, and I think I'd like to ask you again to address it, is if I do this, it'll cost me a lot more. Well, the two things, two dimensions. Morally, it's wrong because people that I'll never see will die because I kept some of my money. Their houses will burn down. There'll be no firefighters there. Or B, my house will burn down and there'll be no firemen there because in the end, it's going to cost me a lot more to keep my money than it is to pay the state income tax.
Well, certainly one of their big angles has always been the sky is falling technique. Let's take that 10%, maybe 20%, 25%, if you include all the government services that most people consider essential, and they'll talk about those and threaten to cut those. And everybody's heard this so many times that they've been shifting their focus to threatening people with increasing the property taxes.
Because it all presupposes that we'll go to the polls and choose once the state local government comes back to us and says, okay, they're giving us less money. The taxpayers are giving us a smaller budget this year. So what would you like to cut? It presupposes that we'll do the incredibly stupid and suicidal. We'll come back and say, let me see. All right, let's cut cops and firemen and teachers.
Well, I think a lot of people see through this. They've heard it for years. They know that the politicians can't get away with really cutting the most essential services because they want to get elected. And this is the beauty of question one to end the income tax, why it's so powerful, because it will force them to cut the government waste. In fact, it's the only way to do it. Exposing the government waste doesn't change anything. They keep spending $1 billion+ more.
Can we turn this around and say, if the government budget is what now, Carla, in billions?
The state budget is 47. In addition to that, the cities and towns raise another $22 billion.
So the total being?
69.3, just shy of $70 billion.
All right, let's be a sport, call it $70 billion. If we could wave a magic wand and double that next year, and someone could come off a cloud and write a check for $140 billion and give that to the state next year, does anyone who should be out running around without, the supervision of someone full time, does anyone believe that at the end of next year the government would come back and say, hey, we couldn't spend this all, we want to give it back to you?
No, they'd be telling you how they have to fire policemen and firefighters. In fact, they have doubled spending. I mean, they've doubled the spending in the state and towns together in a little over a decade. This is what they've been doing for decades, is doubling it every decade. And so this is history's already proven exactly what you're saying, Jay, that this is what they always do. They're lobbying for more money to spend on Lord knows what, and we're not going to find out what that Lord knows what is unless we vote yes on one and force them to open the books and cut government waste. They would not be spending five, maybe it's going to end up being $10 million on ads and postcards to try to scare you into voting against this tax cut for your family unless it was going to have consequences to the special interests in this state who do not want the gravy train interrupted.
And Carla Howell, I'm unaware of any program, any alternative, any vote, and anything there is out there in the universe that would have the equivalent effect of the average family being able to keep, $4,000 and upward of what it makes. I think it bears repeating, we make a huge deal. We've had this great, I'm not sure it's great, but we've had a national debate, certainly a lot of heat and light thrown on the matter of an economic stimulus plan from the federal government, which turned out to be a check, not to everybody, for $600. And now if you ask someone, would you like a check for $600, they say, sure, but here's an opportunity to get a check, as you pointed out, not just now, but forever, for 5%+ of your income. And I just don't get why the other side can say that this money should be spent by someone other than those of us who earn it.
Every year, $3,700 every year, and it's about time that the political debate start to be about real tax, about the taxpayers, about the workers. You know, 99% of what you hear about political commentary is all about the welfare of government, the welfare of government programs, the welfare of special interests, the welfare of government employee unions, the welfare of government contractors. And there's just so little attention on the people who earn that money, who work hard every day for 43 years of their career before they're eligible for miserly Social Security pension that may or may not be there when you retire. Isn't it long overdue that
is it
we
safe
have
to say, Carla, is it safe to say that the average teacher, firefighter, cop, I'm picking that out of the air, but I think they're good examples, that if they had the say, $4,000 or more that they were able to keep this year and each year, would that not exceed the amount that they're likely to get by, you know, lobbying against this? Wow. Their unions are out there saying, no, you must defeat this, and yet for what? How would they better net out? Would it not be with voting yes on number one?
Well, I know a lot of union workers who support our campaign, who donate to our campaign, who are out, you know, putting up yard signs, who need that money in their pockets, who don't believe all the scare tactics of the leadership within the unions, because there's quite a few union members in the state who just don't even like the unions. They're forced to be members of the unions, but they don't agree with them. They don't like what they're saying and what they're doing, and they think their family and their state is going to be much better off with lower taxes, in particular ending the income tax, and that's why they support yes on one, including firefighters and police officers.
Carla Howell, I appreciate you being here yet again today. We look forward to having you back on any occasion between now and election day so that we can continue to discuss this. I just can't think of an opportunity more significant, more important, and more rewarding for us, those of us who make this actually work, those of us who pay the taxes. This is an extraordinary opportunity. I know for myself and my family, yes, please, this would be an enormous help, if for no other reason than to place me in a little more shallow a hole that will be created by the federal taxes that Obama is going to absolutely destroy my family's budget and income with. So for any variety of reasons, would I like to keep what for me will be several thousand dollars next year of what is mine, of what I earned? Would other families listening, of all these other things, we talk about a $600 check, forget that. Would you like to have $4,000 or six or eight or 10 next year and every year because you earned it and you ought to be the one deciding how to spend it? Again, my fellow citizens, if you think this is a bad idea, I think that you'll find the state politicians receptive if you wish to go back to a state income tax or even to increase it. You know, why not make it 10%? I'm sure you'll find the state legislators receptive if you decide this is a bad idea. But why not try it? And there's something even more immediate. If you try this and we get to keep a portion of what we earn and you're guilty, then I'll do this for you. I'll run a series of segments on charities where you can send your money. I'm sure that those charities, individuals, or the state itself would love to have you sit down and write a check. But the whole purpose of this, the whole point of this is that ought not you who earned the money be given that pool of $4,000 or $6,000 or $8,000, you keep it, and then the government or individuals or groups say to you, would you please donate to this, 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 and this? And you say, those are all good causes, I guess, and I'd like to donate to them, but the choice is between my own children, you know, and free needles. That's a tough one, but I think I'll go with my kids.
Boston's Talk Evolution.
96.9 WTKK.